routine. She's in the league of hot bitches on the pro team. First stringer, run through the ringer. Yet she remains with this white rap singer. That in itself is something to admire. Ben Springs on fire. Son of Satan, Lucifer's right hand.
Welcome to the Thank You Rob podcast, episode number
33.
Unofficially sponsored by Pearson Salted Nut Roll. Made right here in St. Paul, Minnesota. Don't be a butthole, eat a Pearson Salted Nut Roll. You can check out past episodes of this show at thankyourob.com, where you can also check out my graphic design work, which is mind-blowing and life-altering, known as I Define Design. You can also check out my other podcast called Some People's Kids Podcast. While you're at it, check out this podcast on Fuzz Talk Radio at fuzztalkradio.com.
So here we are, episode number 33.
Yep.
Nemo the Hooligan is here.
What up?
He's right there.
I'm here.
He's right there.
Under there.
Over there.
You're supposed to say underwear.
Underwear. Ah, oh, gee. I was like, I'm not going to fall for that shit, but then I did. Only at your request.
Oh. Oh, man.
Well, how you been?
Fantastic, actually.
Good. That's good.
Yeah. How have you been?
I've been good.
You
That's
look good.
Fantastic. You, That's fantastic.
You got a good-looking family.
Hey, thanks.
Good-looking place. It's
yeah,
nice.
Yeah. Welcome to Woodbury.
Yeah.
Again.
Woodbury. Oh, Woodbury.
Yeah. Well, this is episode number 33. Last episode, number 32, of course, had Primate on.
Ah.
And we talked about Danzig.
Yes.
You know Danzig? I mean, I don't know about personally, but maybe you do.
Wait.
Glenn Danzig? Or the
no,
band?
No, I don't know Glenn. I thought you were talking about a person, like.
Well, yeah, Glenn
but not
Danzig.
A musician.
Okay,
sorry.
Why, do you know a guy named Danzig?
Eric Danzig.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wonder if they're related.
It's small world.
Yeah, yeah, in the Danzig world. Danzig, you don't remember the song Mother? Mother. Do you want to bang heads with me? You don't know that song?
I don't,
like
no.
Like early 90s?
No.
Okay, that's cool. That's all right. I'm not upset. Danzig is pissed, but I'm not
clearly
upset.
Not as pissed as Journey is.
Journey? Well, Steve Perry or?
No, just because people are just not believing.
Ah, I see what you're saying. Yeah. You're full of them tonight.
Yeah, just shitty one-liners.
I'll add that in there. You've actually been on the show when we did the
Nomad
show, yeah, yep. The Big Jess honorable mention deal.
Yep.
But this is the official Nemo the Hooligan interview.
This is the mostly sober
mostly
interview.
Sober. You were pretty chopped up that night.
I was a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. But you're not tonight, Jerry.
No.
You're not. Okay, well, that's good.
I had coffee and a smoothie. I'm legit.
Coffee and a smoothie. Well, but here tonight we're going to talk about, really, it's a plethora of things. It could be, but I am an alien believer. I believe in aliens.
Okay.
And I know that you are, too.
Yes.
Among other conspiracy theories and yeah. What have you.
Wild ideas.
Yeah. Let's talk about it. What, aliens, huh?
Aliens. Man, yeah. Bro, space.
So initially, when I do an interview, when we talk about a topic, I do research about it, you know?
Mm.
But this is so broad, you know?
It is.
What the fuck, where do I start?
It's kind of funny. I've been having conversations with my girlfriend, and she's slowly been getting to know the really overly nerdy sides of me. I'm into, like, you know, survival and conspiracies and aliens. About 6 months.
Okay. Well, so, it's got to come out eventually, man.
Yeah.
It's got to come out.
But that's one of the things, and she was really surprised at how not crazy it, in fact, is. If you were to look at it through a different lens and kind of research the right things and hear the right things from the right people, it's more like, all right, this isn't the stereotypical, you know, backwoods, I got abducted, mm-hmm. you know, when I was out in the pasture last night or whatever.
Yeah.
But
as opposed to the wrong things from the wrong people, you want to hear the right things from the right people.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and that's the only thing that's going to bring it out into more of a public domain, I guess.
I'm just going to give you a little backstory of like of how I became a quote-unquote believer.
Mm-hmm.
As a kid, you remember the show Unsolved Mysteries?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that show. Well, as a kid, you're like, man, Robert Stack guy's voice is fucking freaky to begin with.
Yeah, right? I had nightmares.
Yeah, and you know, watching that show as a kid just freaked me out.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, you know, you entertain the idea, and unfortunately, religion is kind of driven into you, regardless if you want it or not. Well, I don't know about it. It really depends on your family. I mean, not that my family is like a huge religious, you know, like, you're Christian and that's it.
Right.
But there actually are some people like that in my family, but...
Yep, I got them too.
Yeah, so it almost seems like religion and believing in such things as aliens can't coexist, but in all reality, they kind of can, depending on what your vision of a god is.
Yeah, and I even think... There have been some little, how do you say, pluralities within the Bible in some parts where they discuss creation, and other certain parts where they mention other worlds, other places mm-hmm. that God created. You know, nothing in detail. It's very quick and it just kind of runs over it and no one ever mentions it. But mm-hmm. there's like plural things in there that it's like, yes, he created the universe, so there's probably more of this,
right?
You know, right. Like there's more of what we have yeah. somewhere else,
right?
It might even be human,
yeah,
so
or human-like,
not earth human,
right?
But yeah,
so I agree with you. It started with that, and then later in life, I've always entertained the idea, after graduating high school, whatever, yep. moving on, I was working this job at the Home Depot, early shift, like 5 a.m. So I'd like get up at like 4 in the morning. My buddy was like, you gotta listen to this radio, this talk show, Coast to Coast AM, with Art Bell.
Yep.
On AM 15, or I don't remember what day. It was on AM radio, either yep. way. And it was, this host was Art Bell, and I believe the show is still on, but I don't think
it
Art
is.
Bell is still the host.
It is. I'm not totally sure. I know they still have it, but they do a lot more podcasting things now.
Okay.
So okay. But they I'll do still broadcast.
Because, man, so. That was like, he would talk about anything, you know, supernatural, big from Bigfoot sightings to aliens to ghosts, paranormal yep. activity, stuff like that. Just stuff that, you know, I think it was on from like 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. our time.
I think that's right.
And later in life, I was working this third shift job where I could listen to the radio all night. And I basically worked by myself, and I would listen to that show, and it would freak me out. But it was just, it's entertaining. You don't have to believe it, but,
no.
You know, so because some of the stories are kind of out there. But, man, it is fucking entertaining.
Oh, man.
And I'm one that can entertain a lot of ideas, you know, and just, you don't have to believe them, but you can just
entertain them a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I think entertaining the idea of anything is to be able to do that and not take it anywhere. You know, entertain something and not take it to another level, but just be like, okay, kind of putting yourself in that perspective place.
Right.
But
that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Good thing.
It's a good new beginnings.
Yeah. So I thought the best way to look into this here would really be, what are some of the top alien conspiracies, really? Obviously, the number one is Roswell.
Mm-hmm.
Roswell, New Mexico, 1947. This is verbatim what the site said. In 1947, the Roswell Air Force Base issued a press release saying that they'd found a mysterious metallic disc on a nearby ranch.
Mm-hmm.
The press was, of course, intrigued, but the base quickly changed their wording slightly. They'd found what appeared to be the remnants of a weather balloon. It's always weather balloons, yeah. Isn't it?
Swamp gas.
Yeah. And the change wasn't quick enough. You know, the local press was already on it. And
yep.
It, in 1947, that shit, word traveled pretty quick.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember back in 1947, I was just a young man. Not really.
Back when I could ride the trolley for a nickel.
But, yeah, that was kind of a... Basically, they they said an alien, a UFO crashed.
Yep.
What do you know of this incident?
I know that as many of the witnesses are now in their late years in life, mm-hmm. They are all coming out on their deathbeds and being like, not only did that happen, there was alien bodies, one of them was alive, eventually died, you know, and these are military personnel that are mm-hmm. coming out and saying this stuff, so it's just like, that is, well, and of course, I guess you'd call it the powers that be, whoever that is, they'll take it, and, oh, well, he's an old senile person.
Right.
But yeah. It's like...
Well, when multiple...
his last words, even as a senile person, that thing that happened, you know, 50 really years ago actually happened.
Yeah, yeah. And there was actually, I think Fox aired, like, this thing called Alien Autopsy.
Yeah.
Like, 20 years ago or something, and I think it was released that most of the footage was fake, and then because that footage was fake, they, you know, people kind of deem it as, well, then the whole thing was a...
Flute, yep, but that's part of the cover up. That's part of the psyops.
And right.
That actually is some interesting shit. At least what I think is going on with that right now. But
interesting fact about the alien autopsy thing. A friend of mine, Professor Fresh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also local rapper, Mankato. He has an album called The Fresh Files. That came out a few years ago. It's based off of the X-Files. He's a huge X-Files fan.
Okay.
And I did the album artwork, and on the cover of the album, there's a scene, like basically an image of an alien, and I got that image from the Alien Autopsy video itself. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. And it just looked...
I saw that out in your garage, actually. Yeah. I didn't take a closer look at it.
Yeah. The Alien Autopsy. But that incident actually sparked a lot of things. A Star Trek plot, a Futurama episode, an entire TV series.
Mm-hmm.
Roswell is what it was called, I think, right?
Yep.
The TV show. Another well-known incident, Area 51, of course, located in Nevada, 83 miles, or 133 kilometers, depending on...
If you're Canadian.
Yep. Northwest of Las Vegas. I didn't know the real name of Area 51 facility is actually called the Nevada Test and Training Range, or Groom Lake.
Groom Lake.
Groom Lake, right. Yeah. Although it's referred to as Area 51 in official CIA documentation. What happened there? What happened in Area 51?
Well, God, what is happening in Area 51? Yeah.
There's underground labs, hidden tunnels, dedicated extraterrestrial runway that can appear and reappear, disappear and reappear. Mm-hmm. Research programs. This is, I mean, I don't know about all this, but again, I entertain the idea.
I think a lot of the things that they're able to do with the kind of psychological stuff, like what you said, oh, I don't know if I can believe it, because some of it is so crazy sounding,
mm-hmm.
but then you see little bits and things in other places. Are like, if you pay attention to like prominent science websites where it's like, not like science.com for your average neighbor, or it's science websites for physicists, and mm-hmm. science websites for, you know, it's a network. It's like Facebook for the ultra geeks. And if you go and pay attention to some of those things, like, I have a subscription to New Scientist, and that was when I first saw that they had done something with the invisibility cloak. And it's functioning. The military has developed, you know, DARPA or whatever you want to call it, has a invisibility cloak that can bend light around objects. And it's like, I saw that like 2 years ago, and mm-hmm. just now it's been like on Yahoo or on Google or on something that more people are going to see it. And it's like slow. You think, something, oh my like God, an invisibility cloak.
Right, yeah.
What the fuck? Yeah. Finally, you know, like, sweet.
Is that, I did read about that. Is that like, it's got, it almost looks like, just a ton of like little flexible, mirror type pieces on it? Is that what it's made of?
Or? They're making them out of like meta, and they're called meta materials. They're creating new compounds, and they're creating new materials. And
that's what it's made of.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna have to look into that.
You charge it. There's something that they make it with. That when you charge it with electromagnetism or something, it actually, you know, bends. It looks like a predator.
Okay.
Predator. It kind of looks like.
So it's not like totally completely transparent.
Yeah.
Okay, but you can. Okay. Yep. Good enough.
Yeah.
That you wearing your blue shirt there, you could be seen. That's crazy.
Yeah, but I mean, as an example of like how they slowly release things, and if you paid any attention, they're doing things with like beam weapons and microwave weapons, and they have Navy ships with gigantic lasers on them that can shoot nuclear weapons out of space and shit. Just like, they're slowly
freaking
putting
lasers.
Yeah, and you gotta figure what freaking lasers whatever is visibly known and talked about in public, they're probably 20 years absolute minimum ahead.
Yeah,
you know.
And that goes along with, I mean, I could go through this list of things that I found the top conspiracies, but one of them actually claims that they have relationships with aliens and actually mm-hmm. communicate with them, and they learn yep. about this technology that they have, which is far more advanced, obviously.
Yep.
And then that they would, what is it called, reverse...
Reverse engineer.
Yeah, engineer, right. Yep. Yeah, like the technology to break it down to figure out what exactly is.
Yep.
How this is made, you know.
That is something that, and I mean, we can go as deep as you want, I guess. But some of the mediums they talk about, the channelers, the people that can,
right,
telepathically communicate with yeah. these other beings. Several have been told that exact thing. It's come out with some of these older witnesses of Roswell. It's coming out with from other government officials. It's like, yeah, that shit's happening, and they're in contact with United States mostly. And there's theories about them being in contact with Hitler when he tried to take over the world with communism. There's theories that they were in contact with various figures like that throughout history. That
Steve Jobs. Seriously?
Absolutely.
I was gonna say, because that iPhone, man, holy shit.
Did you ever hear about Google came out with it? They had like a secret lab where they were working on their, not like a total, oh my god, they're making weapons of mass destruction, but they were researching lots of new technologies, mm-hmm. and the CIA and the FBI had like exclusive access, and no other agencies or various departments within the CIA, because they're huge agencies. But
right. I did not hear that.
Yeah,
that doesn't surprise me though.
Yeah,
because Google's fucking huge.
Yeah, massive. They know everything.
And, yeah, with Google Maps, Google Earth. I mean, they're everywhere.
It's the internet is the greatest psychological social experiment ever. They can track any want or need of any right. person on the planet virtually. Yeah. It's wild. Yeah.
So I've come to the conclusion that people are either going to laugh at what the fuck we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Or
most
they
do.
Or they might be interested.
And
but you know, my mindset is basically because I'm not a religious person.
Right.
I just believe in being a good person. But in that, how can you not think that, just like you said earlier, you know, we know of our galaxy, but the space is infinite.
Yeah.
The universe is infinite. It just keeps fucking going. There's got to be something else out there.
Has to be.
And why? I don't know. I don't know why people can't fathom that. Why can't you realize that? And, you know, if they've been around longer than humans, then they're probably more advanced than us. If they're human-like. I can't say for sure because I've never seen a real alien.
Right.
I'm just saying that I believe in them. And for the most part, what I've seen are these tall, slender, gray things with the big heads and big eyes. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And obviously they got here somehow, some way, with some advanced technology that obviously allows them to travel at faster speeds, or maybe
I think one of the big theories with that is wormholes or other crazy shit. Okay, so not to get away from that.
Yeah.
There was a guy that I saw. He presented this theory that Earth was passing through, and there's some science, some things that NASA has said that kind of confirm some of what he said, so he's taking from that a lot. But Earth and our solar system is passing through a massive energetic cloud in space, and that's why things are happening with the poles. That's why all, you know, sea levels are rising and all these things are happening. Mass die-offs of animals. I'm sure you saw stuff about that in the past couple years.
Yeah.
That it's kind of throwing everything out of whack, and the world is coming into more turmoil while at the same time becoming more enlightened and blah, blah, blah. But his theory is that aliens are not, in fact, aliens. They're cross-dimensional entities of spiritual nature, and some of them, this is where the ideas of demons come from and actual fallen angels, because there's different races of these beings that are, in fact, draining negative energy from us, and others that are trying to repair and fix that energy and keep us.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
It's really weird.
Because I have heard that there's essentially, the dumbed down version is there's basically good aliens and there's bad aliens.
Yep.
And the bad aliens being, the good aliens being like the grays. Is that correct?
I think.
And the others are like reptilian of some sort?
I think that they're, from the things that I've quote unquote researched, a lot of people wouldn't call it research, but from all the things that I've read, there are multiple types of grays. Mm-hmm. There's what is called the negative grays, which are negative, and they're shitty beings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's thought that they have to clone their race, and this is where the abductions come from, because they need our sexual liquids and fluids to finish the process. And there's been dozens and dozens and dozens of abduction stories talking about, you know, the probing and sexual exploration and weird shit, not in the, you know, cross-special way, but is that a word? Cross-special?
It is now.
It's cross-species.
Cross-species.
Cross-special.
Sounds good.
That's where that whole thing comes from.
Okay.
Abductions, and then the negative feelings and scared feelings that people get at before and after getting abducted, and they never remember the whole occurrence, but it comes out later in therapy sessions under hypnosis. And, but then there are the good aliens that are supposedly come from the Andromeda galaxy, and that's one of the nearest galaxies to us, with one of the brightest stars, and that there's in fact a galactic council, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what people say, and through these mediums,
I picture this is the Green Lantern Corps right here.
Okay, have you ever heard of Whitley Strieber? He wrote Communion.
And I know the name, but actually because of Coast to Coast.
Yeah,
he's been a guest on there a lot.
Yep, and his ideas and books spawned, and his books talk about what he learned from the aliens, because he was able to eventually mentally like call them, and they would show up that night and take him away, and he would actually have conversations with these different types of aliens, and they would show him what's going to happen to the world, and you know, it could be all bullshit, but his books inspired The Day After Tomorrow and things like that. Mm-hmm. And experiences like he had are what people talk about having with some of these good races. And they're saying that there's an intergalactic council of various races that are working for the betterment of all sentient beings in the world, in the universe,
mm-hmm.
whenever they come in contact.
And so this sounds actually exactly like Green Lantern.
Yeah, I mean, and you think back to the psychological aspect of how they're slowly disclosing what's actually going on.
Yeah,
you think about Star Trek, just a community of a bunch of different races of intelligent beings. Star Wars, Battlestar Galactica.
Where's the Wookiees? Where are the Wookiees
at? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's actually one of the theories, that Bigfoot is in fact
a Wookiee.
An alien.
Right.
Instead of, you know, an ape. That it's yeah. that you only see them rarely because they're.
Did you see actually the other day there was like some recent some new footage. Did you see that?
Yeah, that ended up being it was like a mobile game company that was offering some kind of prize and somebody faked the video.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was hoping you'd say, oh, it was actually Jack Lynx. Jack Lynx, they were out there filming a commercial and someone saw, you know, messing with Sasquatch.
Yeah, I love that shit.
Yeah. So there's a lot of movies, or not a lot, there's a few movies that, like Fire in the Sky.
Yep.
Again, true you know story. What, the image of, on the cover of the Professor Fresh's The Fresh Files is actually the image of, from the movie where he's like, being beamed up by that light.
Yep.
That's on the cover of The Fresh Files. That's a good one, man. That, again, freaked me out as a young man.
And to think that it's... that happened to these people. Right. There's more than one person talking about it. Yep. It's just like...
And then there's... what movie? Contact. There's that one with Jodie Foster where she's trying to... That's kind of based on what... Are you familiar with SETI?
Yeah, yep.
The Search for Extraterrestrial...
Intelligence,
yeah. Yep. That intrigued me. That's pretty cool. And SETI is essentially a community... Which can be, I believe, worldwide, or is that just America?
It is worldwide. They are able to compute the massive amounts of information from their satellite array by piggybacking off of people's computers.
Right, yeah.
Is that what it's called? You're the tech guy.
Essentially, yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah, they're... So what's funny about this, there was a guy, I forget what state, there was a guy who worked IT in a school district that was using... like the computer labs in the school district with this SETI software, which runs in the background and it only processes information when, like at a certain time, like normally when computers aren't being used.
Right.
Like
overnight. At night, yep.
Yeah, which, you know, it factors in all the power that's being used when they're running, you know, overnight. The guy got fired when it came out that he was using...
Really?
Yeah. And that was just like 2-3 years ago.
That's gutsy.
Yeah, but you know, I tip my hat to the guy because it's like that's cool.
Yeah,
you know, at least he was contributing a lot with probably hundreds of computers. You know,
oh
all
yeah,
that processing power that
absolutely.
But this isn't the theory of SETI, basically utilizing all these computers. Colleges and universities use this too. You can like go to these websites and, you know, basically you're contributing your processing power from your computer to help.
Yep. A network of shared processing power.
Exactly. That's what you're doing.
I think SETI is going about it completely wrong. It's a great thing, but I think trying to detect what amounts to a pretty primitive form of communication, you know.
Compared to what?
Compared to who fucking knows? Yeah, right, like, that's my idea behind it. But they have picked up things, and I think... They're still awesome, but I just don't think it's...
they're doing their part.
Yep, you know? They're doing their part, and it's just not going to be fruitful.
Right.
I think it could have been put towards something else. But
now, there was another movie that recently came out. What was that? Probably 3, 4, 5 years ago? It involved an owl. Fourth Kind. And then there's also Close Encounters of the... Whatever, Close Encounters.
Oh, the Third Kind. That's Steven Spielberg. Yeah, Spielberg.
But yeah, Fourth Kind, right?
Yep.
And that one freaked me out pretty good.
Yeah, and that's the kind of stuff that, like I said earlier, Willie Stryber, he would go and he had sessions like that, and he cataloged everything. And,
right.
But yeah, there are groups of people that get together. There's support groups for abductees. There's like Abductees Anonymous.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah. It's like, it's crazy. Yeah. And the whole abduction thing, I think, is... really interesting because it's worldwide. It's not like,
right.
And it's totally, you know, it crosses all economical lines, all status lines, all color lines. It's just like a total cross section of humanity. It's really weird.
Crop circles.
Yeah,
all over.
Crop circles, bro.
Yeah. Well, this is, you know, this is, we could probably talk for hours about this, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, I'm glad you know a lot about it to kind of enlighten me on it.
Some of it's bullshit.
You know, that's just, you got to take it with a grain of salt, mm-hmm. because you never know.
That's exactly it. And that was one thing I wanted to say, if anyone is going to listen to this. I don't. The one thing I do believe is that intelligent life exists.
Right.
And
we are on the same page.
Everything else is skeptical.
Right.
You know, so
keep that in mind.
I read everything, and I'll take in the craziest stories, because I think it's all part of a bigger truth.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it ends up being bullshit.
Yeah.
To some degree.
Well, you know, like I said, entertain the idea. I don't like to force anything upon people.
No.
So that's why.
Especially that.
Yeah.
Man, trying to ease my girlfriend into that was like, oh my god.
You know, like E.T., but not, you know, not really E.T.
So, yeah. Do you believe in aliens? I'm just going to come out and ask that. Because you don't want to see my internet browser history.
Chances are you're going to come across it at some point. Because yeah. You're like, what the hell is he up doing all night? Looking at porn?
Yeah, no.
Nope, it's alien porn. Yeah. Alien porn.
Gross.
I don't know if that exists, but I'm sure it does.
It does, in fact, exist.
Yeah.
From, I mean, if you look for the right things in UFOlogy, it'll eventually pop up.
Great. Well, let's take a break here. We'll come back and we'll stop talking about aliens and talk about other shit.
All
right. Yeah, we'll be right back.
And now a cow who goes to the Chicken Hut drive-thru and then gets halfway home before realizing they forgot his French fries.
Record. We're back. We enjoyed a Pearson Salted Nut Roll. We hashed out some conversation about camping.
True statements.
I did want to say this, because this is episode number 33, and I really have to pay homage to Pete Rentz, MC Rentz, because his number is 33.
Yes.
And he was probably a little bummed that I didn't ask him to be on episode number 33.
Pete, you're the man.
But I can't. Honestly, a little too early. I think I had him on in like episode number 2 or 3.
Oh, you know? Really?
So my show is still in its infancy. You know, let's let it grow into toddler stage. Maybe
333.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, just stay alive. Don't die.
We love you, Pete.
And a special shout out to Amber Ace Cleveland.
Yeah.
You want to say hi?
Hi, Amber.
What else? What can we talk about right now?
Man, I don't know.
Should we get into Nima the Hooligan? He's a DJ.
Sometimes.
What else do you do? What else can't do? You produce? You produce beats?
That was actually what I first did. I was in junior high and I had like acid and Fruity Loops, mm-hmm. and all that kind of crap, and tried doing it, made little mixtapes, sold them for $5 at school.
And that's how you got your start?
Yeah, and then I got my turntable. I was, sadly, I gave myself the name of DJ Twitch once upon a time.
And that Twitch, was, huh?
Twitch, like a nervous twitch.
Okay. Don't Did you I, have a nervous twitch?
No, not whatsoever. Okay. I have no fucking idea why I named myself right. that.
That's not a bad name, though.
But my name now, someone gave it to me in high school. So.
Okay. And then, so you started DJing, then what happened from
yep,
there?
And then after the producing thing, I didn't even know, it wasn't even... I didn't call it producing that. I don't know what I was doing. No one where I live did anything like that. Mm. So it was like, it was devoid of hip hop. And no one, I was the only DJ for a long time. It was weird. It was really weird. I tried showing people Rhymesayers. I tried showing people Def Jux. I tried showing people even then Most Def and stuff like that. And people just, like, most people wanted nothing to do with it. And now I see these people going to sound set and all that stuff. I think
it's
funny.
A little late to catch on.
Yeah, I think it's funny. But yeah, then I picked up DJing, and that was pretty much it. The first night I got my first pair of super shitty plastic belt drive turntables. I think over the next couple days I was at it for maybe like 15, 16 hours. I ended up, like, did the math.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I apparently really like this. And just time just flew by.
Were they the run-of-the-mill Gemini?
They were, in fact, Gemini.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, everyone started off with those.
Yep. I had them on the floor because I didn't have a table yet. I sat on my floor for hours, for months, before anything.
Yeah.
Had money for anything
right.
else.
Hey, that was a good start, though, right?
Yeah, you know. Surprised I still do it.
Yeah. Do you do weddings or anything? Or
yep.
Events like that?
Do weddings, corporate events, venues, clubs. I've done some clubby club stuff.
Right.
Birthday parties, Halloween parties, graduation parties. And then, of course, what I like to do, love to do, is working in the hip-hop scene
right.
for the most part. So.
And that's how I know you.
Yes, this is true.
Because you've worked with pretty much anybody I know. And everyone I know. MC Rents, Big Jess, everybody else.
Yeah, all those other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, Desdemona, Culture Cry Wolf, St. Paul Slim. I regularly DJ for Slim. And Longo.
Mm-hmm.
DJing for them on a more regular basis anyway. Yeah, I don't know.
And you can easily drop in. You know, that's not like what the fuck is this guy doing scratching on my song? You know what I mean? Because I remember you did just in January. I think it was January this year when Pete, MC Rens had... I used to have this rap group called Lyrical Pedestrians, and we had kind of a reunion at 7th Street Entry,
yep.
And you... I don't know if he scratched for the band, or you just did for Pete's set, but either way, it was like... You know, I don't know if you guys even practiced before.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was like,
no.
Yeah, you couldn't tell. You know what I mean? You're a professional,
no.
man. You know what you're doing, so it works out.
I don't know about all that, but.
But beyond the DJing,
you're
a humanitarian. Would you say humanitarian?
Sure.
Yeah. You're for the better of mankind.
I'm trying to. Trying to first learn how to better myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where
that's
I'm
where
at
it starts.
Right now, I thought it was the other way, and then your ego gets in the way of shit, and you gotta like figure out what you're really really about. Because I love music,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I've always had this drive to do something bigger. Because I feel like music can be a not necessarily a totally self-serving thing, but you know, it's kind of for the self. I want to get paid. I want to make money.
Right.
This is my name on the marquee. This is, you know, all that. And lately I've just really wanted to step away from that whole thing more and more. And like we talked about on the before we began this, doing the Earthships and sustainable housing,
mm-hmm.
and
let's talk about that. I need people need to know about this. Where did you hear about this initially?
Sustainable living.
Yeah.
Sustainable living is hard.
Yeah.
It's like it. Some people make it out to be very easy. It can be easy with a lot more of the really modern conveniences, but to at this point, for the average person to jump into, oh, I'm gonna live a totally self-sustaining life, it's gonna cost you money, you know, and To some degree, and if you don't have that extra stuff, and most people are totally content in spending extra money on a computer or a car or something like that instead of, hey, I could invest in a totally kick-ass rain collection system, you know, and I could have my own water, or I could invest in, you know, solar power, wind energy, or my own biofuel. So that's just kind of the stuff I've been looking into, and I feel like that way, if you know, you talk about it more and try to get this idea out there that this is possible, that you can make the world, build a better world out of our refuse or recycled items,
right,
or the things, upcycling things that have never even been used that got thrown away,
right?
Like, because that's something that we do constantly.
It's a disposable society.
Oh my god, it's crazy, the mountains of trash that you see. When I went to India, you know, and a lot of the people there don't have a lot of disposable income even there. Granted, the population is super high, but even there, the amount of consumption is just like, there's nowhere to put it in the cities. They burn piles of garbage on the street, it'll get big enough, and then they'll light a smoldering fire and just let it go. And it's like,
wow,
you have no idea what is in there that you're just breathing, and and it's just like, man. So,
wow.
trying to do myself recycling, upcycling, reusing things more. You know, I'm not throwing away plastic containers. I'm like, how can I use this? What can this be? What can this do now? Now that it's empty, so. Crap like that, and it's really weird, and it's hard to change because we're all pretty conditioned to live a certain way, you know.
So you're saying just recycling that plastic bottle is not good enough?
It is. It's better than nothing,
right?
But I think there's more that can be done. Like the Earth ships, for example, they are they take old cans, plastic bottles, glass bottles, and they build it into the house. And some of these recycled things can really serve a new purpose, new functions, where you can build a solar water heater with tinted glass, some insulation, and aluminum cans, like things like that that I've seen plans for. Do it yourself. Solar water here, and it's just like, we can really reuse this stuff. I got all these materials from a reclaimed lumber yard that was all scrap wood, and I used it all, you know, instead of burning it or just having it end up in another pile somewhere else,
right,
you know. So
now Earthship, essentially think of it as, and I hate to use this example, but like the movie Biodome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned that earlier.
I mean, I think that's essentially what it is on a grander scale.
Yeah.
Because the Earthship is essentially, is it your own home, would it be?
Yes.
So if you go to earthship.com, you can actually look. And I find this stuff really interesting.
Yeah, earthship.com is fucking fantastic.
Because my goal in life is to eventually have a house that's very, it's all self-sustaining. Solar power, whatever.
Food,
like, yeah.
Grow your own food. Yeah. I've been eating so much fresh food lately. And not just vegetables. Like, I'm going to the butcher for my meats, going to the grocery store, or stuff like that. And it's just like, I feel better with this. I feel better about myself. My body feels better. Like,
I've been slaughtering my own cows.
Really?
And that makes me feel more, I feel just superior over animals.
Over the earth.
Anything, really, yeah. And I think humans are next, but I haven't gotten there yet.
Apparently they taste like pig.
I'm not going to ask anymore.
All right.
Why you might know that, I don't know. But I really have not slaughtered any cows. But,
no?
But yeah, this biotexture, Earthship biotexture, it's like, it's amazing stuff. But as you said, there's quite an investment to get it going.
Yep.
You know, as anything, like, you know, any electric car, any hybrid car, it's gonna, you pay for that.
Yep, you know? You pay up front and save on the back end.
Yeah.
The cool thing about the Earthship model is that you can build it yourself. If you can find enough recycled or old tires no one wants, and you can have some dirt and And, you know, if and a structure like that where it's really simple, like a one-room thing, is the kind of things that they're taking to Africa and Belize and Eastern Europe and South America. And they have a couple places in America, actually in Arizona, their headquarters is there. Those houses are, like, palatial. You know, they're crazy. The greenhouse on one of the, they're called the Global Models. It's like a four-bedroom, two-bathroom. It's got 2,000 square feet of just greenhouse.
Wow.
That's it. It's like, and they, in the greenhouse, they're raising tilapia and salmon in a pond. And they're growing all year round different fruit and vegetables blooming somewhere in there. And it's just, it's unbelievable.
Now, something like that in our climate here in Minnesota, that would, it doesn't matter.
Nope. They're built, you can build them anywhere.
You know, just from an architectural standpoint, I mean, I am not an architect, but you can go to the website here and just look at some of the some of them that are built, and just the structures themselves, very unique.
Yep.
Like around here,
totally
I've seen,
custom.
Yeah, I've seen houses around here that are like they kind of utilize the earth by kind of building the house into the earth. You know what I mean? It's, so it's kind of like.
Like a semi-submerged kind of thing.
House, yeah. And it's like, it's not, I think they're kind of going for something like this, obviously without the greenhouse, but it's like a standard house built into like the earth, and it kind of looks stupid if you ask me.
Yeah.
I mean.
Like it doesn't belong there.
It's like, what happened to your house?
Yeah.
Someone dumped a bunch of dirt and you just let grass grow on it. But, I definitely see what they're getting at here, and it's very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, and then the whole semi-submerged thing, of course, is mostly temperature control.
Right.
That's the whole point of that, the entire point. It's really crazy. They have pulley systems that are for the vents in the house, so there's no extra motors or anything. It doesn't have to be that fancy, and that's a thing I think also people need to get over, is that it doesn't have to be this way,
right.
You know? We have to start thinking in other ways to prolong life here, you know, and that's, but anyway, so they're pulley systems, and all you do, you can just pop open, pull down on this this pulley, and vents open up, and open up for maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes, and you can lose 20 degrees in the house, and then shut them up, and boom, it starts leveling off again, and it's just like, any time of year, your house will stay between, at the lowest, 65, and at the highest, up to, you know, 75.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like totally self-regulated.
That sounds comfort. That's comfort level right
there. Yeah, and that's how the guy designed it. So it's really like, it's unbelievable.
I think the question everyone wants to know is, are these structures zombie proof?
Mine will be.
If you could survive the zombie apocalypse, if your Earthship was up to snuff, you wouldn't need to leave.
A fortress ship.
You would be able to.
You'd
be able to survive.
What I'm interested in doing, and this is something that I've been looking at. For a while, and more so now with my girlfriend, but we're looking at land and a place to try this out for ourselves and actually go through all the steps and what my grand vision in the end is, to not only have, you know, a quote-unquote complex, not anything necessarily defensive in nature, nothing for a zombie apocalypse, but have a earthship farm, you know, and it's amazing what you can do with a couple acres of land to provide for yourself. It really is. You can grow enough food for several families on an acre of land and even raise livestock that can last you year round. So it's like, if you have everything properly set up, you can do that. And that's what my main goal is eventually to do.
Now, on this land, would you essentially be the leader of
The Lost Boys.
Well, I was thinking more of a commune, you know.
Oh yeah.
And you're are you teaching people like the ways? Are you?
Nope.
Their religion. This is your religion, you know.
Absolutely not. No, it'd just be for.
Do they all have to wear Nikes?
For me. Yes, in fact, all Nikes and tracksuits. Lots of Kool-Aid.
Yeah, drink the Kool-Aid.
That's not funny.
No.
That's a terrible.
Don't laugh at it.
I won't call it Jonestown.
Well, this is something that should be looked into. I definitely like. I saw you posted on Facebook the other day about this, and I was very interested. So, and I, as I said, you know, I can't plumb. I can swing a hammer is what I said. So I'd definitely be interested in lending a hand and stuff like this. It's very cool.
Yeah, last me and again J Rod of Last Triumph have been looking into people to talk to, people to network with within Minneapolis that could, you know, bring about the ends of having one of these within the metro area, so that people can come and look at an Earthship in Minnesota and be like, wow, we can do this, and it costs how much, you know? Because it's sad to say in a way, because you have to appeal it to the more wealthy and the hip and the people that have some influence and a voice to be able to get anything done. You can't. I wish I could just like go into my neighborhood and be like, dude, check out this fucking Earthship.
Right.
It wouldn't go anywhere, but it's like
Minnesota is one of the biggest hipster.
It is.
States.
It is, in fact.
So I mean, the appeal, if done right,
could actually exactly.
really. Now there's one in Tao, I think is the name of the city in New Mexico.
Yep.
You can actually rent it.
Yeah.
For a night.
Yep. They have a whole bunch of them that you can rent, all the different models.
Okay.
To see what it's like to live inside one.
Oh, that's cool.
That's really the mission behind that.
My wife is going to listen to this episode, and I just want her to know right now that I'm planning our next family vacation.
Right now,
yeah. We're going to New Mexico. That's I'm not going to tell you why, but no, you already know.
That's the sound of your bank account being empty.
Well, anyways, besides this, what's next for Nemo? Didn't you say you were putting together like a mixtape or something?
Yeah. I am. I have some, how would I put it? I have things to get in order still.
Yeah. You have to get your affairs in order?
Yeah, because I was really kind of running myself pretty ragged, and I wasn't giving myself time to put thought into the final product. All the tracks are done, but it's like, how am I going to put it? What's the artwork going to look like? How am I going to have a release party? Who's going to play it? You know, how am I going to package this? Because if it's my first thing and I'm 27 going on 28, it's like I feel like I need to really do it really, really, really right.
Mm-hmm.
And have it be done well to do it at all. You know, because it's like if it's not going to be, it's not right in a way. And it's nothing that I've produced myself. It's just tracks that I've all been featured on, and that's kind of what I feel like I am, I guess, in Minneapolis. This is just like a featured DJ.
And you're content with that?
No, I'm not.
You need your name featured on that marquee.
No, and not even that, but just I want to be a part of a project. I want to be in something original, and right now, that's not happening. And that was happening for a long time, but, you know.
Same. And you were a part of a group at one point.
Yeah, well, a couple, but really the main one for probably 4 years, almost 4 years, was PB and the Jam, a.k.a. New Sound Underground. And we toured and did quite a bit, and I learned a lot playing with those guys because they are phenomenal musicians. They're just unbelievable. Chris Honeycutt, the bass player, lives with me, and he'll probably end up listening to this. And I'm not brown-nosing you guys. But I don't play with them anymore, which sucks, but it was my own fault, so...
Hey, you know what? That reminds me. That was actually the night of that MC Ren's show. Like, that had just happened, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
I remember us talking about that night.
Yeah, I was pretty bummed, but I can only be mad at myself, I guess, because shit that I was going through at the time was just like, I was just not psychologically there
right.
for that level of musicianship at the time. And we were trying to finish a new album, and I wasn't showing up to practice, and I was sleeping and or playing other shows mm-hmm. all the time, trying to make money and get my name on the marquee.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? You picked yourself up, and you got yourself back into it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You're doing a great job.
Well, thank you.
I see. I always see your name on show flyers and whatnot. So I know you stay busy. At least
I'm trying. I think at this point anything that is coming my way is just because I've been doing it for 12 years, and you just end up meeting people and then you get become friends and like
people like Amber Ace Cleveland.
People like Amber Ace Cleveland.
Yes.
or Big Jess.
Yeah.
Or you know, and being able to work with guys like Big Jess or Desdemona or St. Paul Slim, like when having that phone conversation with them. And it's such a small thing, you know, to a lot of people that we know. But when I got a text from Big Jess that was like, do you want to be my DJ? I'm like, dude, holy shit. Mm-hmm. I've been listening to you for 10 years.
Right, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes, of course, mm-hmm. Big Jess. Of course, I'm always going to be your DJ. So, but, and then I feel like in the last year and a half, I've made personal headway. And I don't know. It's weird talking about myself like that sometimes. But
that's a good thing, because you need to recognize that yourself at the same time. Yeah. You know?
That's true.
When is this project going to happen? When will it be out? This year, you think?
I was hoping for it to be done by the end of summer, but I have a few more shows coming up that I want to concentrate on, and I have weddings I got to go to, and I work full-time, you know, so it's just like finding the time to sit down and really get a quality thing out is taking time, so...
Right. And you got to sleep in there somewhere.
Somewhere. And
a couple hours a night.
Man, I was so bad for a while. Oh, my God.
A lot of sleeping?
Oh, my God. No sleeping. Like, none. I was drinking probably a pot of coffee a day along with several Red Bulls and getting 2-3 hours of sleep a night, you know. I had started working out, you know, trying to lose weight. Good fucking luck with that. that was last year around April, May, and I would 3 nights a week I would get off work, I would go work out for an hour to an hour and a half, and I'd come home, shower, bam, go to the gig, not get home till 2:30, bam, get up again, and I would do that 3-4 nights a week, and then have rehearsals and stuff with my band, which wasn't even involved in those shows, and then it would be like, okay, all right, we're gone for a week here, or we're gone. So it was like, it didn't feel like I was going anywhere with it, but it was just such so weird. I just really overworked.
People
got to
understand that your body needs rest. You know what I mean? Yeah. Some people they just don't really give a shit, but that's all part of taking care of yourself. Well, if people are interested in say booking you for an event or, you know, DJ, where can they do that?
slipmatsradio@gmail.com.
Okay. You don't have an official site.
And
Facebook?
Again, that's one of the things that I need to finish putting together. It's begun, but it is not finished.
Okay.
So but Facebook, I guess I don't use my my music page, which is just the dumbest thing that I've ever done, not done, but yeah, Nemo the Hooligan of Slipmats. Come on, just enter it, Google it, shit'll come up.
Yeah, you'll find him. He's easy to find.
Pictures, yeah. I'm around.
Well, thanks for doing the show, man. Appreciate you coming by.
Yeah.
Coming down to beautiful Woodbury.
I love Woodbury.
Woodbury loves having you. I guess let's wrap it up here. I just want to remind people to go to thankyourob.com. You can check out my iDefine design, web design, all that other shit that I do.
Great work, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. And the other podcast I do, which is like stagnant right now, at 6 episodes in, the Some People's Kids podcast.
Oh, yeah.
We really need to get on top of that. My buddy Chuck, by the way, congratulations to him. Him and his wife just had a baby. Baby boy. Chuck.
I met Chuck. Is it Chuck Jr.?
Yeah. It's, I believe, Chuck the Second. To see what he would be. He's another Chuck, yeah.
Beautiful. Chuck is a good guy.
Yeah, he is. I have a t-shirt shop that I'm actually working on a couple new designs right now. Nice. So there'll be some new stuff up there. And that's all at thankyourob.com. Yeah, check it out. But any last words there, Nemo?
The truth is out there.
Yeah. And I just want to say...
No.
Chewbacca balls.
Smatter, witchy. Smatter. Gather round, people, from my distant world. Across Etowah County, I reach into your zone. Excuse me for cutting line. I'm awful sorry for intruding on your space. But I feel I'm rather blessed in this issue, which you happen to be involved with. Love is only relevant if you understand the target. Any questions?
All on my own, I am a single man, looking for a heart that I can understand. I'm looking for my love.
Well, love is a prism, two lights thrown, and receiving it's hard to comprehend the human rhythms, you know. Well, I guess it's kind of like our satellites. One floats around until the signal reaches a receiver. One floats around until the love reaches a believer. Get it?
I never really found out how hard it might be. Okay. Everyone before me couldn't answer me, yeah. So I'm still looking for my love.
It's kind of like drawing sticks. But if you gamble with this, don't gamble counterfeit. Come real.
For my love.
A metaphor, the other says get you a plate full. A lot of rappers are serving birds, they're tripping. I give you a CD, you eat free, that's a real whole chicken. Don't be so goddamn easily impressed, the 93 you had to rap. What the fuck ever happened to that? They pick up the game and can't drop one in the net. KP said it was a pickup game, just be properly dressed. It's like they heard the joke and took them serious though. And a bunch of people pulled up hungry with a blinged out cereal bowl. But you can't get cornflakes if your music is born fake, so cheerio, chap, here's some Lucky Charms, good luck. Fuff, now that there was unnecessary, but when you got words like these, then a word like fuck, it just gets buried. Unlike them who meet fuck and go get married, have a bunch of fucking babies before the fucking wedding. The MC-to-be didn't go to dress rehearsal, now you back in a pickup gang, fuck boy, in a fucking commercial. Behold the catfish you can. I swam 8 miles on the bottom of Lake Michigan to reel me into the mainstream, made them nervous. So I wrote to the muffled kick drums under the surface. Yes, I've been underwater, y'all. And I leak so much ink, I leave need books waterlogged. I know some want my art to pause, cause I play with rap music like driftwood in an otter's paw. Now that's some country shit to say, bro. Not as country as working construction and doing a show in the same clothes. Yellow, they know, they know. On top of this kindergarten shit, building fine art out of Play-Doh. Oh, tell me, have you ever in your long-legged life seen an alien catfish? Have you ever been slapped by one-eyed, one-horned, purple people eater? Hold back the water like a beaver, then let it
goal like Noah. Better learn to swim without floaties. Better learn to live without quotas. Gotta carry a bag from the gout to the limit. Traveling a billion miles a minute. Light speed on the mic, I become a living alien in the Alabama sun. Again.